Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. How just one family can make all the difference in the world to orphaned and abandoned children in a country like South Africa, where 25% of the population is affected by HIV/AIDS. Father Jim Brand explains that although we may pile on all the reasons why we're not worthy, God still loves us. In South Africa, which is where I come from, it's become quite normal to hear people talking about, or referring to, AIDS babies. That's because the HIV/AIDS pandemic is so serious there, some 25% of the population is affected. Of course, that also means there are many organisations, both church-related and non, that work for AIDS prevention, look after AIDS orphans, care for the dying. One in particular caught my interest, also because of its name. It's called Just One Child, and it's based in my own hometown, Johannesburg. I decided to find out more about it, and managed to catch the man behind the organisation as he rushed from one business meeting to the next.
My name's Clifford John Brooke, and my normal job is I'm managing director of a big insurance broking company in South Africa called Standard Bank Insurance Brokers. However, apart from that job, I'm also involved, myself and my wife, in running children's homes for both children that are HIV abandoned, either affected or infected by HIV/AIDS, as well as trying to provide for parents who might otherwise have abandoned their children. So we provide a second house where we try and cater for mother and child.
I asked for more details, and Clifford, who is Catholic, told me that together with his family, he started a Section 21 company, which in South Africa is a non-profit company, 3.5 years ago, and called it Just One Child.
The reason for naming it Just One Child is, first of all, it was brought about by the fact that we became involved with one little boy 3.5 years ago who was very sickly and who had been abandoned, and we took him in and we subsequently adopted him. But when we got involved, we suddenly realized that there was such a need out there to help children like this, that we wanted to do something. So we got involved in a bigger picture. We named the Section 21 company Just One Child, and we used that name for two reasons. A, because it started with just one little boy coming into our lives that we helped. And secondly, because if you look at the birth of Jesus, what just one child did for humanity, and we're saying if everybody could do something to make a difference to just one child who hasn't got parents, then we can make a difference, especially here in South Africa where the AIDS epidemic is so bad.
If everyone did something to make a difference, even for just one child, just try and imagine how many lives could be changed. And Clifford's story is really a wonderful witness to that simple assertion, showing how he and his family started doing something right at the heart of his own home.
We started off with a little nursery at our own house. We are converted to a double garage, and we provided to cater for four babies, in other words, children from birth up until 13 months of age. We've actually slightly expanded that, so we have up to six children in that nursery. And then we started a second house, and the second house we cater for another eight children, where we take children over a year old up to whatever age they might need to be helped. Because what happens is when the children are born, many children get abandoned, and when they're abandoned at the hospital, initially, we don't know if they're HIV positive or not, and we don't know the full background. So where we get approached, we will take the babies in, we will look after them, and over a passage of time, when they get tested, if they're not HIV positive and they are relatively healthy, then through the Catholic Women's League, a Catholic adoption society, we would arrange an adoption for those children and try and put them into a loving family.
And at this point, Clifford pointed out, Together with the loving family, something especially interesting is beginning to take place.
That in itself is quite interesting, because in South Africa, most of these children are not white children, and yet we've been successful in placing three of our children so far into white families, even though the children weren't white. And so we're actually talking about making a difference to children and creating blended families, irrespective of race or colour or creed or religion.
Yes, because in the new South Africa, Clifford told me his aim is to create blended family units that are blind to race, gender, colour, creed or health status. Through these families, he points out, children are loved, nurtured, supported and cared for in a normal environment, as well as creating a solid texture for a conflict-free, multiracial society. He explained that as the Just One Child reputation is slowly but steadily growing, more and more people and organizations are participating in the process. But mainly, he said, it's the Catholic Women's League that helps with all the papers and legalities regarding the adoption.
Those children who are not adopted because they are HIV positive, we have given an undertaking that we will look after them for life. And if that life is long enough for them to grow up where they're able to look after themselves, then obviously they would. But we've only been going for 3.5 years. So, in fact, the oldest children that we've got at our homes at the moment are 10 years old. They're ones that were late arrivals. And so far we've had 2 deaths from HIV/AIDS, and we've currently got 3 children who are HIV positive. The interesting part is that we started this just as individuals. We've been amazed at the amount of support given to us by people and communities where the nations just basically arrive without us asking or expecting them. We do have to employ staff for the nursery. We have 3 staff who work on 12-hour shifts because, for example, last week my wife was called to pick up a baby. It was 1 day old, and those babies have to be fed right throughout the night, as any mother would know. So we have to have staff working for us all the time. The second home we've got, we have to have a house mother running with the children. And then we're offered a third house which has 8 bedrooms and which wasn't really suitable for running a family. Our concept is to run it within family units, no more than 6 children, so that each child gets a fair amount of attention and the love that they would normally get within a family unit. So that house we take in mothers and their babies, where the mothers were sort of wanting to abandon the child, would say, "Now come stay with us, stay in this house, we'll look after both of you while we try and find you a job, while we try and get you back on your feet." And of course, if the mother is HIV positive and the baby, then we welcome them even more because we want to help both of them.
The more I listened to Clifford speak, the greater my admiration became. Where, I asked, do you get the money from?
We get sponsorship from the Rivonia Catholic Church, where we are currently parishioners, but that's a small amount in relation to the total. Interestingly enough, there's a parish in Wales, St. Mary's Parish in Wales, that raises funds, and we get quite a helpful contribution there, because any money that's sent across, for example, from the UK in pounds, becomes tenfold when it arrives in South Africa. And we've also been getting money from the Catholic Church parishioners in faraway places as Sydney in Australia. So yes, funnily enough, Catholics around the world are in fact donating towards helping us as they hear about what we're doing.
Clifford, how do these babies respond to the love and the treatment, of course, that you give them?
That is unbelievable, Linda. I mean, if I can just take you back to what happened. The little boy we got was 4 months old when he came to our attention, and we wanted to help him. At the age of 4 months, he weighed 2.8 kilograms, which you would know is below the birth weight of many children. We had him for 1 week, and in 1 week he put on 500 grams or half a kilogram, and in the second week he put on another 500 grams. So at the age of 4 months, he weighed 2.8. 2 weeks later, he weighed 3.8. We've had children come into our care who we've believed are at the verge of death. There's one particular little child who was, in fact, HIV positive, who we really did not believe would survive beyond Christmas of 2004. She was so frail. She was a pitiful sight when she arrived at our house. And today, virtually 18 months later, if you saw a picture of this child, you wouldn't even guess that she was HIV positive, because she's smiling, she's walking, she's a normal-looking child. But that's only because of love and attention. I say to people in our parish and to people around us, if we don't expect financial help from everybody, all you need to do is just come and hold the baby for half an hour to let the baby know that somebody loves them. It's absolutely amazing that the difference that that makes to a baby's life.
To hold a baby for half an hour to let the baby know that somebody loves him? That's heartbreaking. And anyone who has ever held a baby will know exactly what I mean. But Clifford, who is a man who really does put his money where his mouth is, says he believes that each person has a unique purpose, specific gifts and talents, and great potential, and that every life is as precious and meaningful as any other. At Just One Child, he says, we start with the children, those abandoned by parents, grandparents, and society. Clifford, can I ask you what happened to that first little boy you took in?
The first little boy we took in, he wasn't HIV positive. He grew into a strong little boy, and myself and my wife adopted him. And he's now 4 years old, and he's doing very well indeed. He had his tonsils out 2 weeks ago, so he's just recovering from that. But he's a normal, healthy little boy going to nursery school now.
What's his name?
His name is Bernard, and because he was named Bernard, when we started our little nursery at home, because when we started the nursery, we thought we'd only look after four babies. So when we started the nursery, our parish priest said, why don't you call your nursery Clairvaux? And I said, why Clairvaux? And he said, because there was St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and the little boy that started it is Bernard. So we said, that's a good idea. So we named our nursery Clairvaux. And then I had an official opening where I asked the parish priest to come and bless it. And I said, will you come and bless it? And he said, yes. So then I went into the internet to look up about St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and I nearly fell off my chair, because in reading up about it, I found that when he started the monasteries, Clairvaux, they became so popular, they expanded all over the world. And that's what's happening with the babies we've started. We started the nursery, now we've got the house, now we've got a second house. So it's actually, I say it's not a coincidence, it's a God incident that has happened here that's got us moving in a direction which 3 years ago we never imagined we'd be involved in.
Finally, Clifford told me that for the future, Just One Child has the vision of helping 100 children a year.
We've been going for 3 years, and in the 3 years, we've actually moved 19 children into loving families where they've been adopted. We've currently got another 26 children spread across the three houses that we're working with. We would like to achieve 100 children a year. We've got plans for another area where we could put up more houses, but that all requires financing. But if we could try and help 100 children a year find places of love and safety and homes to grow up in where they get the normal love and attention that any child is entitled to and should get, then we'd be achieving our ultimate goals.
Our chat was coming to an end, but Clifford was adamant everyone should know that nothing he has done so far could have been done without the hard work of his wife and daughters.
The other thing I would like to add is if anybody would like to do the same, that's one of our wishes, is that other areas would start houses as well. I believe that if each community or each parish could adopt one house of children, be it in South Africa or another area of the world where children need attention, you can make a difference, and that's really where we're coming from.
If you want to help, even by just going to hold a baby so that it feels loved, you can get in touch with Just One Child at www.justonechild.co.za. I hope you enjoyed that story. Actually, if you tune in again next Friday for this same program, I'll be talking about yet another uplifting initiative in support of an AIDS charity in West Africa. It all started when a London-based journalist and playwright decided to put on a series of performances of a collection of tiny plays about London to raise money for the Loyola Hope Centre in Lomé, Togo. And now for one of my favourite moments. Father Jim Brand, spiritual director of the Pontifical Beda College, reflects on the scriptures and tells us the meaning of humility.
Last week I was looking at the amazing things that are going on in the Annunciation, when a messenger sent by God was sent to Mary, and what was going on in that conversation. And this is really what prayer is about. Prayer often is, "Listen, Lord, your servant speaking. I'm broadcasting." Whereas really it's, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." You see, so we have to switch off our noise, our orchestra, stop strumming while somebody else is trying to speak to us. Enter a deep silence and we hear the Lord whisper. Because he's coming on a visitation to us. The messenger from God came on a visitation to Mary and made an annunciation. And Mary immediately went on a visitation to her cousin Elizabeth and made an annunciation there. I'm sure. And this is what happened when Mary went off to see her cousin, to help her cousin, who was in her sixth month. She entered in, and the presence of God within Mary, the presence of the Lord, made John the Baptist kick. Elizabeth thought, "Wow, oh, things are coming on well." And Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. So the first thing that Mary did was to greet Elizabeth as the messenger had greeted her. And the response was, "Blessed are you among women, and the fruit of your womb. How is it that the mother of the Lord should come and visit me?" Well, how is it that the angel of the Lord should come and visit Jim? Mary said, "How is it really that the angel of the Lord should come and visit her? If you want the holy people, they live next door." Because God chooses the foolish to confound the wise. Let's get that straight. St. Paul knew that he was number 13 in the family, the postscript of the Apostolic College. He persecuted the church. He was the last of all. And yet, by God's grace, Paul said, "I am who I am." And then Mary gave a most wonderful hymn in praise of God, in which she says, in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 onwards, she is amazed that she's been looked on in her nothingness. Now, without God, we're nothing. And yet, Our Lady was able to say, "He whose might has done great things to me." And that's what humility is. It's the truth. There's all the difference in the world between humility and humiliation. Uriah Heep and David Copperfield, you know, "So humble. Oh, I'm so humble," he says. "I'm so humble." Anyone would think we were a stain on the carpet. The Lord says, "Jim, you're not a stain on the carpet. Stand up. You're a prince in the kingdom by my grace." And really, false humility is a way of avoiding responsibility. It's throwing God's gift back in his face. And some people have been deeply wounded by a wrong spirituality that thought that humility was humiliation. I remember a shocking film, it was a very good film, a shocking film called The Nun's Story, where the young novice had to drop the spaghetti on the floor on purpose to show humility in sweeping it up. The outrageous thing was she was ordered to fail her exams as being good for humility. That is abuse. A-B-U-S-E in capital letters. And it's been going on in our church for years. I'm spending my time trying to undo the damage. Humility is truth. And the truth is, we're a nothingness, but he who's mighty has done great things to us. It is to be able to accept our gifts, our uniqueness, and also the weaknesses that, thank God, go with our gifts, otherwise we'd be impossible, full of pride. the more gifted we are, thank goodness, the more weaknesses he gives us, so that we couldn't throw stones at anybody. And we also have compassion on the multitudes, because we are weak as well. And then she gives this wonderful Jewish, extensive thought on what holiness is. Holy is his name. And for the Jewish people, holy means other. Other than I am. Otherwise we make God in my image and likeness, which is fatal. And she gives four reasons why God is other and what we're like. We live in a world that builds pyramids. We climb on each other's backs to try and reach the top. And when we're on the top of the pyramid, we think we're the king of the castle. We look down on everyone else. The apex of a pyramid does something terrible to your bunions and corns. Like Eros at Piccadilly Circus, you're all standing on an apex. Must be terribly painful. Also terribly lonely, because there's only room for one on top. And everyone down below is looking up at this fool, thinks he's God, thinking... And God feels so sorry for this person who thinks they're all important. He takes him off the pinnacle and shuffles him in with his brothers and sisters, so he's not so lonely, doesn't look such a fool. And we live in such a vulgar world. I hope the world doesn't imitate the West, where people flaunt their riches. They flaunt their looks. They flaunt their cars. And everyone thinks, to be anybody, you've got to imitate them. And it's so ridiculous. They look such fools. If only they realised how silly they look and how much they need God to take them off their pinnacles and shuffle them in down below with their brothers and sisters. Because that's the vulgarity of the world. Climb up to be in the penthouse suite. But God is other. I'm glad to say, he doesn't build a pyramid, he tips it upside down. He tips pyramids upside down, and he took the lowest place. I said before, when our Lord asks us to do anything, I say, did you do it yourself? He said, when you're invited to a party, don't go sit at the top table. Plonk yourself down there, because they might say, I'm terribly sorry, that's for the bride's mother. You think, oh my God! No, you move down two steps. No, I'm sorry, that's for the bride's father. Oh, eventually you find you're down with the organist or something, down at the bottom. When you're invited to a party, go and sit in the lowest place. And if they think they want you, you want you to go higher, that's up to them, not up to you. Because on Good Friday, our Lord took the lowest place in the universe. He died, if you please, with the sin of the world upon him. And amen, amen, I say to you, whoever's listening, no matter how low in life you've ever gone, and you can pile on the Hitlers and the Stalins and Genghis Khan and Tamerlane, anyone you want, you'll always have to look down to see him, not up. Because he chose to go lower for you. And the Father said, hey, the party's for you. Come higher, friend. Come higher. Because he who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. I've met fancy priests whose manners match their fingernails. They wouldn't dream of doing anything menial because they think they've got consecrated hands. Mother Teresa's consecrated hands would have done anything for anyone. So if you're a priest, I beg you, please get your hands dirty and know there is nothing menial that you wouldn't be prepared to do, because the Lord chooses the lowest to serve the lowest. So the first reason why holy, it's because his mercy reaches from age to age. The Hebrew word for mercy means love. that simply cannot be cancelled out. Mercy is love that follows us wherever we've been, whatever we've done, we're still loved. And maybe sometime I'll share a most beautiful poem on love with you, where we pile on all the ideas and reasons why he shouldn't love us, and he says, I still love you. And eventually he's going to win, game, set and match. And that's what prayer is this dialogue, this conversation. We pile on all the reasons why we're not worthy. He says, but I still love you. And in the end, he's going to win. That's what mercy is. Love that still loves us wherever we've been, whatever we've done. He routs the proud of heart, pulls down mighty from their thrones, and raises the lowly. He loves the hungry people. I remember the story of the pool at Jerusalem. First into the pool got cured. Well, somebody who had an ingrowing toenail got down there quickly, but poor old Bill could hardly get off his chair, didn't. In other words, those who don't need food get it, and those who do need food don't get it. There is something, I think, absolutely disgusting about gourmets while the world starves. Quite disgusting. And our Lord would be very angry. Remember the story of Lazarus, the poor man at the gate, and the rich man who had sumptuous clothes, had so many meals a day. And there was poor old Lazarus scratching himself. Let that be a lesson in humility. I'd rather have a piece of toast than something extravagant. And the last reason why God is other than us, he loved Israel. The Jews were amazed. At that time, China was streets ahead in culture. I admire China. No wonder China thinks that the West is Johnny come lately. They've had a culture for thousands of years. They invented so many things. And yet, of all this insignificant group, God chose the Jews. And they were amazed and humbled that in their nothingness, God had chosen them. So anyone who's going to be like our Lord must learn not humiliation, but humility. Remembering, he chooses the foolish to confound the wise. If God loves Christians, there's hope for the Hindus. If God loves Catholics, there's hope for everyone. And God loves me, I'm most amazed of all. Amen.
That's all from the English feature program today, but we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programs on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English program. Laudetur Jesus Christus.